All right, you're in the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And thank you to all of our wonderful patrons. You know, I have got to change the orientation of this damn table, Drew. Every time we start the show, I realize I just stare at the wall.
Is that better?
I do feel better now, actually. Yes. Now we're looking at each other as if we're having a conversation. I don't know why it's taking me so long to... We just need to change this whole damn table. Like, the way it used to be set up was specifically set up for the video.
Well, also, you looked at John...
That is also true. Oh, that makes me sad. Look at that empty seat just sitting there. No John in it. But yeah, it was because of John, but also because of the video. Because if we were to sit like this with the video the way it was, then it would, you know, see our backs. And if we put the video up over here, which of course you guys can't see where I'm holding my hand up, but if we put it over here by the window, then it wouldn't be able to see everybody. So I was like, oh yeah, we'll just put the, you know, video up like this, and or set the tables up like this. I mean, and now I don't know why I've spent so many over a year now just staring at that fucking wall. I know the details of that Victor Wrench picture like perfectly. It's burned into my head for an hour a week. All right, whatever. Look at the changes we're making. We're growing closer every day, Drew. Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show. Thank you for your show ideas. Today, shocker, patron idea. Make sure you guys send us your show ideas, info@trainingaz.com. Last week came from several different listeners who wanted to hear us discuss The Way of Men, and I was like, well, sure, but wouldn't it be better if I discussed The Way of Men with the author Jack Donovan? And then last week we were able to get Jack Donovan on the show, and it was a great interview. For those of you guys who missed it, hey, guess what? You can go back and listen to it. So send us your show ideas. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be scared, my little chicks. Email me, info@trainingaz.com. Glenn and Drew, I want to hear you talk about this. And we probably will. Like, we typically, it used to be we would plan like 3 months ahead. And I used to put up like these 3 month calendars all the time. And then that started to become kind of a hassle, honestly. And it didn't allow for much changing. And as the show grew and we changed a lot, because we'd have guests that would, you know, like, hey, you want to be a guest? And like, oh yeah, I can be a guest next Monday or something like that, right? So because we just pop around, I don't really do the schedules anymore. So typically speaking, just so you guys know, we normally only have about a month or so planned out, you know. And sometimes, like last week with Jack Donovan, we had today's show last week supposed to be. But then when he said, oh, I can do it next Monday, it's like, well, no problem. We'll just push that show. So we don't mind, you know, moving stuff around. So the point is, fucking email us your show ideas, all right? info@trainingaz.com. Don't forget my $10 above patrons about the extra show that we do every month. We did the August show.
We did.
So make sure that you check out the extra shows if you're a $10 and above patron. All right, we're going to start with some sad stuff. Sorry. More kids drowning in Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I don't even know how many kids drown in other cities. You know? I'm sure plenty. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Yeah. I don't even know how to say that. Plenty. Plenty of children drown. Like we're trying to hit a fucking quota or something. Way too many kids. In fact, all the kids who drown, for the most part, are unnecessary. They're all unnecessary. Like some drunk guy falls in a pool and can't get out. And by the time everyone realizes where he went, he's drunk or he's drowned. I mean, you're like, well, we said one day Drunk Joe was going to fucking drown himself, kill himself. And there he is, dead. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's not a tragedy, but kids are just playing, man. They're just being kids. They're just trying to have fun. And they're drowning because people are stupid fucking assholes. The end. So don't be a stupid fucking asshole. And do what Fox 10 News says and watch your kids around water. It's like a huge thing here in the Phoenix area. It's literally billboards. It's literally like Fox 10 News' tagline is a reminder all the time, watch your kids around water.
Yep.
They've been doing it for years. I've seen it for
Muncy
years.
Dave Muncy started it way back in the day, old weather guy.
Yep. Watch your kids around water. Watch your kids around water. Don't let them mess around in pools by themselves.
Yep.
Don't let them do it. They drown in pools. They get through gates. They get through fences that don't exist. They drown in fucking inches of water in the bottom of a bathtub because mom gets up to go check something or whatever. Dude, they're little kids, man.
Or if they're on their phone not paying attention.
They're not as capable as you or I.
Yeah.
Watch them around water. Yeah. All right.
The Pfizer vaccine got full approval from the FDA. They fast-tracked that, granted it, and everything. So now it's good to go. So now you can take it without any health risks.
Right. Oh, yeah, because they just shoved that straight through.
Yeah, that's exactly what Fox 10 just said. It said, breaking news, U.S. Food and Drug Administration has fast-tracked and granted full approval of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine.
The FDA, you know, I mean, look, they're a government organization, okay? So that means they're highly efficient at their jobs. And they absolutely, positively would not do anything. They would compromise any moral, ethical, or value-based boundaries that an organization like the Food and Drug Administration would have in making sure that they maintain a high standard of care for the health of their citizens. There's absolutely no way that anybody there would take any bribes or payoffs or, you know, be okay with someone, I don't know, threatening their life or the life of their family. They would not compromise based on those kinds of things. I trust the FDA. Yes, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that shit. You are not injecting that shit into my body. Folks, the mandates are coming. Be like our Australian brethren.
The guy riding the horse.
That guy riding the horse. I don't know who he is. I don't know his
bareback.
I don't know his government leaning. I don't know how he feels about guns, but I can tell you how he feels about fucking liberty. That guy was on a fucking horse like William Wallace out of Braveheart, riding around spreading the good message through these massive, massive crowds of protesters, you guys. This is real shit that's happening all over the world. People are literally in droves protesting. And guess what most of these countries don't have? The right to protect and defend themselves. Self-defense is illegal in many forms. Guns are illegal in many forms, if not completely. And this is what these folks have now. They have an oppressive, tyrannical government that is telling them what to do and demanding that if they don't do it, they're going to be put in jail.
Well, look at all that.
This is insane that any fucking piece of shit government thinks that they can put someone in jail because they don't want to put a vaccine into their body. That is the absolute epitome of what has happened in history. It's insane. Are we tattooed? Are we going to tattoo our vaccination numbers on our forearms next?
Probably.
I mean, that's never been done before. Romans, Greeks, Russians, Jews. If you're a Jew and you don't, and you're not fucking outraged at this, I got to be honest, I don't think you're a Jew. Every Jew I know personally is fucking pissed. They ain't having this shit.
Yeah. Could you imagine if our great-grandparents were still alive? I mean, your great would be like my third or fourth great.
Glenn's so old. All right, continue with your story, then.
Could you imagine how pissed these people would be who fought in the wars against this bullshit?
Yeah, I know what my grandfather would have done. He'd have just fucking taken an axe handle to anybody who said, you need to cover your face.
Yeah.
When you come into town. When you ride into town,
who saved, you
gotta cover your face.
Like, the whole thing with the Nazis in Germany, with them and the Jews, and, you know, everybody who were allies going over there fighting for these people who were being oppressed, all of a sudden, it's like that's all been forgotten, and it wasn't really that long ago.
There's men and women
who were
in World War II who are still alive.
But it's not
that long ago.
They are in their, you know, 80s.
But my point is, it's not that long ago.
It's not like we're talking about
the Revolutionary War. And people are like, our founding fathers would be like, yeah, that's all true. But like nobody from that era is still alive, right?
World War II, a lot of people are still alive. And you can hear some of them are standing up saying, "What? Well, this is horseshit. Like, this is what happened that we fought for liberty for these people is now being brought to everywhere around the world again." It's like history repeating itself. Oh, my goodness. And now they want to rewrite history books and leave parts out. And it's like, gee, I wonder why you're trying to do all this cover-up bullshit, because you're planning on doing it again.
Mm-hmm. No one in power with money will ever vote to give themselves less money or less power, right?
Yep.
I mean, you look at everything that's going on in the world today, and people often ask the question. In fact, some of our instructors from Independence Training were having a brief discussion this morning on you know, what do we do? What's next, right? Are we going to resist? Are we going to non-comply? Here's my belief. This is very not positive, so get ready. I know usually you guys are used to me being so fucking uplifting and positive. Sarcasm. Hope you're picking it up because I'm putting it down pretty heavy. Here's the fact. People aren't going to resist. Not like you want them to. Not like I want them to. Now, people are resisting in other places in the world, as I said. I don't have great... My heart hurts to say this. I don't have great faith in Americans. I love my country. Very much. I would kill for her, and I would die for her. And I do not have great faith that as long as the lights still come on, the toilets still flush, the stimulus checks or the VA checks or the whatever form of welfare checks are still rolling in, as long as the unemployment checks and the food's on the shelves and the kids go to school and you still have a job and the paycheck still hits the account and your next season comes out in October, November and gives you something to look forward to. I don't think people are ready to be that uncomfortable yet. And there's people I know who have gotten the jab to, who don't want it, who didn't believe in it, so they could keep their jobs, so they could maintain a certain livelihood that they believe is necessary to be happy in their life. Some of them are very quiet about it. I know people who have been very quiet about getting the vaccine because they really were kind of adamantly against it. And then when they were really put to the grindstone, get it or else, they said, well, I can't afford not to get it, so I got it. I'm not passing judgment on anybody here. What I am saying is I don't believe that the average American's willing to do much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see it in other countries. We seem to always see everything in other countries and never here. There's always protests in other countries. There's always uprisings in other countries. And here in America, we just keep getting pushed. And the line keeps getting pushed further back. People are like, well, if they do – oh, shit, you already did that? Oh, okay. Well, then if they do that – oh, shit, they just did that. Okay. Well, I swear to God if they – they're doing that? Oh, okay. Well, maybe if they do – and then it's like people are just getting like ridiculous to their, yeah. Well, maybe if they do this, then I'll finally stand up. Look, I'm not saying I'm doing anything either, really. I live in kind of a bubble, to be honest with you. I don't have a job where I have to get vaccinated. I don't have a job where, for the most part, during COVID, we didn't have to really wear masks or do much. Like, I don't have that kind of job. I'll be honest. I'm kind of separated from it. And that's just how it is. And some of you guys aren't. And you have to wear a mask and you have to get vaccinated or else you're going to lose your job. And maybe that's not your hill to die on. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'm going to get vaccinated, especially you military folks, right? You're put in a real fucking tight spot right now. You're in a real tight spot. You don't get to have that political, you know, motivation that we do where we're like, I'm not going to get a vaccine. Like, you'll be potentially prosecuted by the law. So don't. Mm-hmm. So be very, very careful about what you do here, all right? You kind of signed off your
rights,
so to speak. You can have the opinion all you want, but keep it to yourself most of the time when you're in uniform service. That's kind of part of being in uniform services. You agree to kind of do what they tell you to do. That's yeah. Part of the gig, right? So some of you guys are in a real tight spot, to which I can understand. For everybody, though, including my aforementioned brothers and sisters in uniform, here's the reality. Is that going to be your hill to die on? I don't know. I don't know what your hill to die on is. What's my hill to die on? What's Drew's? What's yours? What's the line that's too far? What is your line that's too far? I don't know, and that's not what today's show is about, so I don't really want to get too deep in it. But I do want to say this. Most people are asking me that I have these conversations with, then what do we do next? To go back to the instructor conversation we were having this morning, what then? What do we do? You do what I personally have thought is always the right answer. Since way before all this craziness, back when there was other craziness, I've always said you work on the zones. Start with yourself. Are you where you want to be? Are you where you want to be with your health? Are you where you want to be with your mental health? Are you where you want to be in your relationship? Are you where you want to be? Are you doing the things that are necessary to keep yourself sane and healthy? Are you fighting those fights? People often talk about how they're willing to fight these giant apocalyptic fights, but they won't have a good, you know, heated conversation with their significant other. And there's a difference between fighting with your spouse because you don't like each other and fighting with your spouse or your significant other or whatever because you're trying to create a solution somehow. You're not fighting against them. You're fighting with them, you know. Drew and I used to say we fight at each other, you know. And sometimes we fight with each other. We had a pretty good fight this weekend. We fight with each other. But I don't fight against Drew. I fight with Drew sometimes. We used to fight at each other a lot. You know, we were just kind of bringing our previous problems and slamming them against each other. Now we fight.
We don't do that.
No, no. But now we fight with each other where it's like,
we have the same problem, but we want to voice
it. We want to find a solution. Andrew and I are incredibly loud, angry people anyway. We cuss a lot. Some people will hear us having a normal conversation. They're like, geez, are you guys okay? And we're like, yeah, we're perfectly happy. Like, we are deeply in love. And then they're like, couldn't tell. You're like, oh, yeah, I just told her to fuck off because that was necessary for the time, you know? But
you never tell me to fuck
I never tell you to fuck off. But the point is, like, are you in a good position with your relationships, your friends, your loved ones, your family, your kids? I'm more concerned, let me be honest here, I'm more concerned about the relationship I have with my children than I am about what's going on anywhere else in the world right now.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about that because if that is weak, if that fails me, then it won't fucking matter what I do anywhere else. It just won't. Not to me. How are you doing in your own personal zone? That's zone one, you. You're zone one. Zone two, that's your family. Whatever that means, right? And I think we've talked about these zones on the show before. But zone two, that's your family. That's your people. That's your tribe. That's your friend group. That's your spouse and children. That's your immediate family. Whatever you call family, okay? Now start working with them. Start educating them and let them educate you. Start identifying strengths, weaknesses. Start working together on projects. Start teaching these people what you know and allow them to teach you what they know. Start strengthening the group. Then you can work on zone three. Zone three is your community. Now you can go out and you can have a better effect through this small circle of really strong people. Now all of you can go out and start working on your community. Now you can volunteer for community programs. You can go to your churches. You can go to your schools. You can start doing stuff in that world, right? Your neighborhoods. I mean, we've talked about that on the show before. Everyone's like, oh, I'm so ready for the apocalypse. Do you even fucking know? Name me five of your neighbors. If you live in an urban environment, name me five of your neighbors. Now, growing up, right, in rural country like where I was, it'd get easy. I could have easily named you five neighbors because we all really did depend on each other. If something happened, it was that guy who was, you know, just a few acres away that was going to help you out. It wasn't going to be the cops or a fire. They were a long ways away. It was going to be, you know, the guy who was right there. I can still name you five neighbors I had growing up. Easily. I can still easily name them. That's how well we knew them, right? We watched each other's animals and took care of each other's houses. When people were gone, we helped them out. We took them Christmas meals. They brought us Christmas meals. We all shared big celebrations together. It was like we were a community. Literally, we relied on each other, but we don't do that anymore.
No, you barely know your neighbors.
Barely know them.
Which is crazy. I mean, we know our neighbors.
A couple of. I still want to get to know the two dudes who live literally next door to us.
Well, I know their
I
names.
I chat with them, yeah.
But we say hi to them and whatnot. But yeah. It's not like the relationship we have with our other neighbors.
No, not at all.
Where, you know, we would be comfortable if we left, you know, our daughter at home and she ran over to their house for whatever reason.
Yeah, we'd be like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
Like, of course they'll hands down do whatever they can to help.
Yeah, we've got a couple of the neighbors we know, but I'll be honest, that's one of my weaknesses. And part of the reason that my neighborhood is one of my weaknesses right now is because I'm still back here in zone one. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to try to, you know, blast off this rock or what. Zone two, I'm still working on that. Zone three, I'm always kind of sort of working on, right? I try to do a lot for my community, especially through independence training and things like that. That's not my primary focus right now. My primary focus right now is zone one, zone two. When you get to the point where you're like, okay, look, you're always going to be working on zone one and two and three. As you are ready, then you expand into zone four. That's the rest of your life. That's your political, you know, running for a political office. That's your, you know, how you interact with people at work. That's your, you know, I'm on a stand with a loudspeaker trying to gather the masses. That's zone four. Most people want to jump right to zone four and be totally fucked up zone one through three.
Yeah.
So you know how you want to be a better effect on things, zone one through three. Work on that first.
Yep.
Then you can affect zone four even more. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
And in other news, if you guys are thinking about being in your zone one and really strengthening the relationship with your children and into, you know, learning and teaching them new things, we just got the Tuttle Twins books.
Very excellent books.
Yes. So we bought those for our kids. And we have started reading those books to the three younger ones at night now before they go to bed. And it comes with a hard drive, so there's activities.
Flash drive, yeah.
Or a flash drive, I'm sorry. Yeah. So there's activities that can get them more involved and other learning things on there. So the Tactical Medic
sells of all guys.
Of all people. That's where we bought ours.
I don't know if he even has it on his website because he's kind of a dork like that. But if you certainly if you email him.
Yeah.
He has, another dozen or so full sets in a package. I think I gave him $80 for it.
Yeah.
And it's all the books, everything in there from liberty to economy, history, some amazing, amazing books, really great stories
about
the Tuttle Twins.
And easy for children to follow along because it's about a brother and a sister. And they go on these different learning adventures and they learn about everything. And so it gets the kids really, really engaged. I mean, our littlest is five. She understands. And then the 2 7-year-olds, they fully understand. And so if you're thinking about trying to get your kids away from the bullshit public schooling, this is a great opportunity for you and your kids to learn together and learn basic things that children should know that the schools are refusing to teach them.
So Redwire Gear Moment today, what does your clothing say about you? This specifically has to do with our topic today about the gray man, quote unquote, gray man lifestyle. What does your clothing say about you?
It says I'm a long distance
runner. Drew says I'm either headed to or coming home from the gym. What your clothing says about you, and I don't mean does it say you're rich, does it say you're poor, does it say you like to ride bikes or dirt bikes or whatever, do I own guns? I mean, what does it really say about you? What kind of capabilities do you have based on the clothing that you choose to go out into the world with? They say clothes make the man, to which I agree. I also agree that those clothes need to be functional. Everyone looks good dressed up in a tux or a three-piece suit, but that's not realistic for everyday use, James Bond, okay? That's not realistic. What's realistic is making sure that the clothing you put on every day, that it's really thought out. Like, what's the weather going to be like? What kind of things am I going to encounter? What tasks am I going to do? And is this clothing appropriate for those tasks? So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Getting to our topic today, useful tips for living the gray man lifestyle. Oh, this is one of my more favorite topics because the term gray man, like so many terms in this industry.
I have the funniest thing to tell you about.
Has been destroyed. All right, fire away. Does that have to do with what topic?
It is, okay. And it's really funny. All right. But you can continue because it's Cecil, I love you so much. But every time I hear gray man, I always think of Cecil.
Cecil is the gray man. He's actually going to be on the show next week.
I know.
Cecil looks like – I always tell people when they're about to meet Cecil, I'm like, hey, just so you know. Like everyone hears about Cecil, like what a fucking badass
and
Cecil is.
And then you
is,
look
right?
at him and you're like, really?
And everyone's all that's, like – yeah, and people it? Are like – like, I don't know who they expect to walk in the room, like Jean-Claude Van Damme or whatever. And I'm always like, hey, man, I just want to prepare you for what he looks like. He looks like an insurance salesman, like a really – like a nerdy. Soccer dad insurance salesman.
The New Balance shoes with the white
tall he's probably going to have like that. He could take some lessons from Craig. Cecil, you know you could.
Right. I love you, Cecil. I just, every time I hear, after meeting Cecil, now when I hear Gray Man, I instantly think of Cecil.
I was thinking, and you're like, I always dream of the day. Like, honestly, it's guys like Cecil, who I love having as one of my good friends. It's always guys like Cecil that whenever the phone rings, I'm like, and I see it's Cecil, I'm like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. What I want it to be is he picks up and I go, hello? And he goes, it finally happened. And I'm like, yes, fucking yes. Someone attacked you and thought you were a grandpa. Tell me the rest of the story. And they're like, yeah, someone said, hey, grandpa. And then they pulled a knife on me. You know what I'm like? Yes, yes. Tell me what happened next. You know what I mean? Like, that's always the call I'm excited to get from someone like Cecil. Like, someone, I don't know, like the majority of like our guys, like I never expect to get that call from, I don't know, Chris.
Oh, right? Gosh.
Who's going to reach out and grab a hold of Chris?
Well, that goes to there's a Gray Man sense, but then there's also like the vibe that you put off that you're just non-approachable. Like, you
and honestly, Cecil has the Gray Man thing down pat.
Like, he looks like he's an approachable old man.
But he doesn't.
He looks like.
He looks. But the vibe.
Right.
The vibe from Cecil is, I'll rip your head off and shit down your neck.
Well, but if you see him from a long ways off, again, sure. You know.
So that gets into target selection, victim selection.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Now, everybody here has been selected as a target. I don't care how fucking badass you think you are. I don't care how beefy you think you are. I don't care how many grunt style shirts you wear. All right. Everybody here has been selected as a target. Everybody who can hear me right now and everyone who can't hear me. Everyone who's ever walked the planet and come in contact with any kind of even antisocial criminal has been selected as a target. For any variety of reasons. Whether or not you get selected as a victim, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
So if people targeted Cecil, sure, people have targeted me. People have targeted you. People have targeted me and Drew together. We know that.
And then they find out.
The victim selection process, however, that is an entirely different thing. That is when you use mucking, you use the vibe, as Drew calls it, you use how you walk, how you present yourself, how you get in and out of a vehicle, how you watch people, how you look at people, how you handle people. They know instantly whether or not you're going to be a victim. How do they know? They know. They just know. And we're going to talk more about that next week, by the way. But the point is, how do you look? And I'll, you know what? Since Drew brought it up and Cecil's going to be on the show next week, I'll use Cecil as a perfect example, right? Think about the Gray Man lifestyle. Now, I'll tell you this. Cecil Birch, those of you guys who don't know who we're talking about, from Immediate Action Combatives, phenomenal instructor, amazing, not just, I always hate to use the term martial arts instructor or martial artist to explain all the things that Cecil has accomplished, going from traditional martial arts to fighting styles to now being, you know, an internationally ranked competitive Brazilian jiu-jitsu dude, like, I don't know, third degree black belt or whatever. Like, he's just a badass, and he does everything in a weapons-based environment, and he's not just a sports jits guy. He's a practical jits guy. He's a no-gi fighter. He's amazing. Like, he's just fucking incredible when it comes to that world. He really is. And when you see him on the street, he's not going to wear your 5'11 discreet professional's pants. Cecil's not wearing the Vertex concealed carry plaid shirt. You know what I mean? He's not looking like he's a contractor about to roll into fucking Kabul. You know what I mean?
Which is basically most of what our instructor staff looks like.
I just explained, described half of our instructor staff. Most of our guys don't look like that. I mean, they do look like that. Cecil doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
So from the Gray Man lifestyle, I've taken lessons from Cecil on that. I've taken lessons from some of my other
You
guys.
Look like you rolled out of an REI catalog.
I do. People always are like, you look like you fell off the cover of an REI catalog. I'm like, perfect. That's how I've looked my whole life, pretty much. When I was younger, I had some cowboy boots and cowboy hat, and that was it. Like, now that I'm older, I don't cowboy boots, cowboy hat anymore. But back in the day, all right. Now, yeah. Basically look like a fall of fucking, you know, cover of an REI catalog.
Patagonia, everything.
But that's how I've always dressed, right? I've always dressed in outdoor pants and outdoor shirts and T-shirts
but
and
now,
a ball cap. I've always
if you've
worn a
noticed,
ball cap.
Like, cool pants are like the jam to wear now. Ugh. On the range.
I was wearing cool before it was cool, by the way. Damn.
Which
it.
Is crazy because it used to be the 5'11 pants.
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden
and
everyone's
and
wearing
Vertex.
Cool pants. I noticed like four or five other people in class the other day. And I'm like, what the hell?
They're stealing my brands. I gotta keep switching.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Those are really nice. Or the Prana pants. I like my Prana pants. Yeah, Prana's are great. Nice.
Here's the biggest thing with it, right? Mm-hmm. And Cecil and I have had these conversations about like the gray man lifestyle, right? You gotta stop trying so hard.
Yeah.
Stop trying so hard. I mean, I mentioned like in the Red Wire Gear moment at the beginning of the show, look, like, what does your clothing say about you, right? Yeah. Like, what kind of capabilities am I going to have today? Stop trying so hard to look like the super tactical gray man. It just makes you stand out more.
And then,
just
you know,
wear regular clothes,
if you are finding, if someone is trying to do target selection and they're about to drop some heavy shit, they're going to go straight to you and be like, hey, motherfucker, I know you have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you have a gun. You probably have a gun.
Yeah. You know, fanny packs are back now, you know, especially for tat gear and carrying concealed and all that. I'm like, dude, just see you from a mile away. It's like the old school version of the you know, old man with the lightweight vest on. You're like, dude, 9 out of 10, there's a fucking gun under that vest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably a 1911. But the reality is, stop trying so hard. Just buy regular functional clothes. You know, some of my favorite pants, Wranglers, Dickies. Yeah, I love my cool pants, and they are durable. I don't know if they're worth $70, but they are really comfortable.
And they look very nice on you.
And they're incredibly durable. Like, I will tell you, my cool pants, I literally have pants that last me 2 or 3 years of almost weekly wear. Before I'm like, okay, these things are starting to wear out, just get a hole in the pocket or whatever. I mean, Kool's pants are insanely durable for the most part. I've had a couple pair I wasn't a big fan of, but like the heavier ones, I can't remember what they're called, but the they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really awesome. They're also $70, so it's like I can go down to the store and I can get a pair of Dickies or Carhartts or whatever. You know, same quality of pants really, and yeah, they're only like $30. And get two pair for the same price, you know? Mm-hmm. And they don't look as tactical anymore, right? I'm back to looking like a construction worker. I mean, there's been a number of times like we'll leave classes and our guys will give us a hard time. They're always like, Glenn, you look like you're like just the way I dress, you know, and like my boots and they're like, you look like you're about to go build a house somewhere. You know, I'm like, well, I mean, construction's in my blood, so sure, I guess, you know. Like the way I always think of it teaching in classes, I want to be able to leave a class and go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Not like a nice fine restaurant, but because I'm going to be stinky, but like I want to be able to leave a class and like, oh, Drew calls me and goes, hey, can you pick up whatever fucking, you know, loaf of bread? Sure. I can walk into the store without being in like multicam and tactical pants and my grunt style shirt. By the way, I own zero grunt style shirts, but like whatever it may be, right? Like I want to be able to just look like a normal person. And oh, babe. Here you go. Before you shake your drink, you got to put the lid on. You definitely got to put the lid on. I'm amazed how many shakes it took you to realize that the lid wasn't on. I looked over and I'm like, she's got it. She's going to notice.
Nope.
Well, as Drew's cleaning up her Body Armor Tropical Punch is now all over her desk.
And my leg.
And your leg.
But that's okay because I look like I'm going for
you
a long
to the gym
run.
Anyway, so whatever. But part of it's just like, stop trying so hard. Stop buying products that are designed for the gray man. Like, the harder you try. It's like, dude, I see your bag. I see your blending discreet backpack. I see it. There's very few backpacks you can't spot when you know what you're looking for. And people are like, but the average person doesn't know. That's right. And you shouldn't be concerned about the average person. You want to know why? Because there's the average fucking person. They don't give a shit about what you're carrying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I carry a pistol with me almost everywhere I go. I couldn't even tell you how many people probably – I've run way too many errands today, and it's like I couldn't even tell you how many people probably have seen the print of my pistol.
They have no idea what it is.
They may not even know what it is. And even if they didn't know what it was, they're not going to say anything. They don't give a shit. They're not the people I'm worried about seeing it. The people I'm worried about seeing it are the opposition, and those guys know what to look for. They know what the clothing to look for. They know the bags to look for. They know this shit. Why do you think our opposition, our quote-unquote bad guys, don't use this shit, right? Why don't they use this shit? They blend in an entirely different way. You know how most opposition blends in? They dress and where, whatever, other opposition-type people are going to be wearing in that environment. You want to blend in with homeless people, look like a homeless person.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time an undercover cop was like, all right, here's what we want you to do, Joe. We want you to dress like a cop and infiltrate the mafia, right? And he's like, this is totally going to work, right? Hey, here's what we want, narc. We want you to dress like you dress every day when you're going to Sunday brunch with your family.
They technically...
And infiltrate this undercover drug ring. And he's like, oh, this is totally going to work.
They technically are the true gray men.
Dude, narcs are amazing. I had the opportunity to work around, not with in any professional capacity, but just around and train with several narcs and even in several different units of narcs. I always love training with them because you walk in, you're just like, yes, these guys like aren't real cops. Excellent. Don't take that offense, narcs. You are real cops. But you're just like, oh, cool. Like, these guys are going to get it. Like, and every narc, by the way, I've ever trained with, and we've mostly just done medical stuff with them, every narc I've ever trained with is like, I want to know this so fucking badly. And they are like the most attentive students because they've seen some nasty shit go down. Yeah. Compared to your regular patrol officers, like, it's like pulling teeth to get them into a freaking class. But anyways, I digress. Why do you think your opposition looks the way they look? Why do you think people who want to go undercover put so much effort into blending in with the people that they're going to be around? Now, they are trying hard, and that's not what I mean by in the beginning when I say don't try so hard. That's don't try so hard to be the gray man. It's just work to blend in with the people you're going to be around. Here's the thing. The standard of care changes based on where you go. I do not dress the same in Arizona as I do in California. I don't dress the same. When Drew and I are going to go to a beach house and we're going to go spend a few days hanging out on the beach, swimming in the ocean, palling around, you know, in the little beach bars and everything. I don't dress like I just fell off the cover of an REI catalog because I would stand out and it wouldn't be very functional. But I would stand out.
Yeah.
You want to blend in with the beachgoers? Dress like a beachgoer.
Yeah, shorts and t-shirt.
You want to blend in with the mountain people? Dress like a mountain person. If you're going, if you want to go blend in with the protesters, I'm not saying you ever need to do this, dress like a protester. You want to go blend in with a group of people? Dress like them. Act like them. Behave like them. You want to look like an average person? Stop buying all this shit that makes you not look like an average person. Wear regular clothes. Just wear regular clothes.
Yeah.
Wear whatever's comfortable for you and when you go. In America, we're so, you know, in your average neighborhoods and environments, whatever, we're so diverse and whatnot that, like, you can pretty much wear whatever you want. You'll be just fine. But if you're trying to blend in with a specific group of people, you got to look like them. Just... Stop with buying all this. Understand, there are companies who've literally made their entire business. And I don't have a problem with any of these companies. I use some of their products. But there are companies who have built their entire brand off of making stuff for undercover cops, low-vis security guys, right? CIA types, right? You know, contractors, concealed carriers. Their entire brands are built on that. You don't think the opposition knows what to look for? Come on. Like, that's insane. Like, they know what to look for. They know what they're after. So does that mean that the average antisocial criminal is going to come mess with you when you're in your 5'11 pants with your, you know, I am the weapon t-shirt on and your, you know, proudly served hat and your fucking full sleeve, you know, machine gun, belt fed tattoo going down your fucking arm? No, the average antisocial criminal might not. They might hit you up for a dollar, and when you're like, fuck off, peasant, then they may be like, okay, and they may leave, right? But that's not who I'm concerned about. I can get those people to fuck off. If I was in my board shorts and flip-flops on the beach, I can get one of those people to fuck off. That's not a problem. That's not who I'm concerned about here. I'm literally trying to hide from the enemy, okay? Who is the enemy? Well, based on the previous conversation we had starting this show, the enemy may be people like you, looking for people like you in a crowd, in a protest, in a peaceful assembly, in a peaceful demonstration, whatever the hell they're calling them. There will be people there infiltrating that group, specifically looking for people like you. Be careful about identifying marks that you put so easily visible on your body. Like, for some of you guys, it's too late. You already got them tattoos, all right? And look, I have tattoos as well, all right? Drew has tattoos. We're not opposed to. If you haven't yet got them all over your fucking body, all right, in all those visible areas, remember, everything visible is identifiable. Someone's looking for you specifically, right? Who would ever look for me? What do I mean? I don't know. Read a fucking history book and find out about groups and of government organizations and agencies and agents of those organizations who might specifically be seeking out certain individuals that they might deem a threat to the overall system of things. Read a book. Read a fucking history book and you'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. Be careful about things that can't be easily covered up. Be careful about how you dress in those environments. Like, I'm not going down to a protest in my, you know, Loas and my 5'11 pants and my freaking, you know, I am the thing that hunts the things that go bump in the night or whatever gay shirt that is, right? And my freaking multicam ball cap. I'm not going to go down there dressed like that. I know you think you're the gray man. You're not. Which you got your logo. This is my, it's my, what do they call it? What's that word? Subdued. I couldn't remember that word. The subdued, right? Like, I got my multicam black hat on with my subdued. It's got the subdued Magpul logo on it. It looks so cool. It does look cool. Wear it. Enjoy it. But if you're going to go down to an event like that, you're going to be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be targeted. Maybe not by the people you think you might be targeted by. Maybe we're not just talking about people who are trying to beat you up and steal your stuff in a parking lot. Maybe we're talking about other people that might be in opposition to you who know a lot about you, and they know about that logo, and they know about that camo pattern, and they know about how you dress, and they know about what those clothes mean. Maybe think about that. I mean, we live in a world where the president of one of the most historically productive, maybe that's even not the right word, countries in the world currently, just aided and abetted, by the way, completely against the Constitution, aided and abetted, it's actually called treason in the Constitution, the enemy, by leaving billions of dollars of arms and ammo and tools and equipment behind in a war zone for them to use freely. And yet, that same president, who comes from a certain system of government, will tell you that you are a domestic terrorist if you speak out against certain individuals in the government. Folks, wherever the fuck you think we're going, we are fucking there. We are there. We're there. The government's spying on you. They're watching you. Okay? The conspiracy theory shit's over. It's not a theory anymore. It's conspiracy fact.
I think.
Okay? It's conspiracy fact. They're watching you. They know who you are. That's why I do. Stop. Just fucking stop. Whatever you think you're doing, you're not doing it good enough. They know who you are. They know where you live. They know what you buy. All right? Maybe you are the ghost of all ghosts, and that's awesome. And congratulations on being that person. But likely, and this isn't a personal jab at anybody, but likely, you probably don't have kids. You probably don't have a really blown out social life where you're hanging out with lots of different people going lots of different places. You probably don't have much of an internet presence. You're probably not connected to social media at all, right? That's probably not part of your life. And if you can maintain that, you fucking should. Because if I was there right now and I could maintain that, I would. If the country was happening right now, when this country was happening, and I was a single dude with no kids, I'd stay a single dude with no kids. Maybe I'd partner up with someone.
Yeah.
But I sure as hell wouldn't have me any kids. That's way beyond Drew and I for that, right? We have a platoon. Mm-hmm. So those are things we have to consider. They know who you are. We're not trying to stop from being identified on the internet. trying to stop you from being easily identified in public. All right. This gray man thing goes way beyond just being able to tell whether or not someone can spot you with a pistol in the grocery store. No one can see my pistol. It doesn't print. I've done 18 hours of YouTube watching. I've bought 16 different holsters. I finally found the appendix in waistband giant fucking holster thing with the 18-6 pads that pushed against my dick, and now I'm all ready, and no one can see I have a pistol. And I know they can't because they're too busy reading my I Am the Weapon fucking t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you just told everybody you have a pistol, man. Some of the most ruthless people I know are guys like Cecil. I beg the universe, please. Please, universe. I don't want a lot of things. I just want someone to fuck with Cecil in public. Why can't this happen? You know what I mean? Or Craig Douglas. How come someone can't just reach out and grab him real quick? How come someone can't just reach out and grab Craig? Hey, motherfucker. How come someone can't? And play inside of like 3 or 4 different security camera angles. You know what I mean? Even one of our guys. Pick any of our instructors. Why can't someone just reach out and fucking grab us real quick? You know what I mean? Hey, motherfucker, give me your money. Oh, great. Here we go. I'm not saying because I want our people to kill bad guys. It's just, we give off that vibe. It's just probably not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I mean, Drew and I don't think I told the story on the show last week about when we went to the grocery store, that guy on his bike.
I don't think so.
Drew and I go to the grocery store. And it's late at night. We're picking up something for dinner or whatever. We pull into the parking lot, just the two of us in my pickup. And this guy on a bike is cruising around the parking lot, obviously looking for, you know, handouts or whatever. And he pulls up, like, in the space next to us, right? And he's trying to get my attention through my very tinted windows on my truck. And so I just kind of press my palm to the window, you know, to kind of be like, hey, man, do you see? Like, I'm in here. Fuck off. You know, I'm not interested. But as a precaution, I removed a variable. And the variable I removed was I went ahead and drew my pistol and just laid it across my lap, pointed at the door towards him. That's perfectly realistic and legal for me to do inside my own vehicle. And I continued to have my conversation with Drew, which was a normal conversation. We were talking about whatever. I don't care. We could have been talking about anything, and I would have preferred it over talking to this fucking guy. So whatever we were talking about. So eventually, he fucks off and rides away. Now, how do I know, just by his body language, he wasn't a threat? All right, he pulled up way far away from the vehicle. He maintained that distance. He's, like, trying to yell at me through a car window, right? But he's a full vehicle space away. I mean, he's way far away from me. He's still on his bike. He's not getting off the bike, right? He has that little shitty voice. I can kind of hear it where it's like that, excuse me, sir. You know, like that kind of shit, you know, and it's just like, this guy's no fucking problem. But hey, just in case, I still got my pistol handy, just in case I need it real quick. But I didn't figure I would, and as it turned out, I didn't. So we get out of the vehicle. Drew and I go around the front of the vehicle. What we normally do is meet on the same side of the vehicle, and we start walking to the grocery store. Here he fucking comes again, you know, and he's making the rounds, and he sees we've gotten out of the vehicle. So he starts coming over, and he barely, like, inhales to say anything, right? And I just, without breaking stride, I square up on him, and but keep walking, right? I mean, it's a quick little skill, quick little cross step, and you can do it. Just square up on him, turn to one side, and as I'm turning to one side, I go, what would I say? No fucking thing. I don't fucking want it, or something like that. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what I said. Like, I don't fucking want it, or no fucking thank you, or something like that, right? It's late. Okay, it's 9:30 at night. Not that late, but it's late enough. There's not that many people in this grocery store parking lot. This guy has no fucking reason to be approaching us. He's not on fire. I don't see any obvious blood. So he basically has no fucking reason to be approaching me for any reason other than to ask me for something I worked hard for and he didn't do a goddamn fucking thing for. So already I'm annoyed, right? So I have no problem yelling very loudly and cursing at people in public. I have no problem with that whatsoever, right? And I've done it before, and I'll happily do it again. And as a guy comes up towards me, boom, I turn. It's real quick. I'm just like, no fucking thank you, or I don't fucking want whatever you have, or something like that. And he was just like, oh, okay. And then he, like, rides his bike off, right? And that guy's not going to be a problem anymore. That's not the guy I'm trying to be a gray man for. That's not him.
Yeah.
That guy would fuck off if an old grandma turned and was like, fuck you, Sonny. He would be like, okay, and he would fucking leave. That guy is a pissant fucking nothing from nowhere. No one gives a shit about him, and he fucking knows that. He's not dangerous from that perspective. You can read it from his body language. Now, if he gets desperate enough, of course, he'll be dangerous like anyone desperate enough is dangerous. But my point being, that's not the guy I'm trying to hide my gun from. That's not the guy I'm trying to be concealed against. That's not the guy I'm trying to gray man against. That's not the guy I care if he sees my Magpul hat and my veteran fucking shirt and my 5'11 tactical pants with my Loas on. I don't care if that guy fucking sees any of that. Or if I'm in my board shorts and a freaking tank top with flip-flops, I would still be able to tell that guy to effectively fuck off. It has nothing to do with all the gray man shit that I might buy. Look at other aspects of your life. And this is what I want to kind of wrap up the show with today. Start living your life more like a normal person. Right? You want to look like a normal person? Act like a normal person. If you're in a crowd of people and a loud noise happens and everybody hits the deck but you, you just fucking stood out.
I ain't hitting the deck. I ain't scared. You don't know. I was in Iraqistan. Fucking goddamn random mortars to come in every fucking 15 goddamn fucking minutes. You didn't know where the fuck is going to land. I ain't scared of that shit no more.
Okay, fucking stupid idiot. You just fucking stood out. Now everybody knows what the fuck you're all about. If everyone else gets down, you should fucking get down. I'm not saying don't be situational awareness. I'm not saying plant your face on the ground. I'm not saying piss your pants and tremble in fear like everyone else is doing. What I am saying is if loud noises happen, you should fucking do what everybody else does. Otherwise, you're going to be the only person standing up. And if I was the kind of person looking for the right kind of person, yeah, I'd throw a fucking flashbang in the middle of everybody, and anyone still standing is going to get fucking taken with me. Anyone not trembling on the ground a little, anyone not trying to hide themselves from me is going to get taken with me.
But I'm a badass. I'm a goddamn lethal fucking weapon.
Yeah, you are, but not against 12 fucking guys, you're not. There's a time and a place, and that's usually not it. Your tactics blow, probably. You're probably used to a team-based environment, or maybe even a platoon-based environment. Perhaps a company-based environment. Perhaps an office-based fucking environment. You're not used to, for most people, solo, individual-type situations. Blend in. Live your life normally. What other normal people do, you should appear to do that too. Mow your lawn. Pick your weeds. Sweep the porch. Right? Look like a normal person. Act like a normal person. You go out in the public, act like a normal person. Don't walk like you have a stick up your ass. You're about to fucking bust out a half rut. Like, stop, man. Stop walking like that. When someone's talking to you, don't go to fucking Parade Rest. Jesus Christ. The next fucking person I see go to Parade Rest, when I am talking to them, I'm going to kick them in the balls as hard as I fucking can. Stop not looking normal. You want people to think that you blend in? Start blending in. Stop trying to buy stuff that makes you blend in. Look at your vehicles. Oh my God. Could I tell so much by half the fucking vehicles I see cruising around here? I'm like, look, that truck's got a gun. That truck's got a gun. That car's got a gun. That vehicle's got something in it. Half of you guys don't even have to guess if you're prior service. You got your whole fucking ribbon deck all across your fucking back window. You got your veteran license plate. Why? Why does it matter that you do that? Why is it so fucking important you tell everybody about your goddamn life? Everybody who wants to blend in, for the most part, doesn't. They don't fucking blend in. At all. They're trying so hard to fucking blend in, they stand out. Look at your own life. Maybe you're killing it. Keep killing it and teach other people around you how to do the same. For the rest of you, please stop trying so hard. Stop buying products made for the gray man. Just start doing normal people shit. Be aware of how other people are seeing what you're doing. Carrying guns in and out of your house. That's not normal people shit. It's normal in America. Okay, go with that then. And then when people show up to fucking steal your guns because they're either government officials or they're people from the neighborhood that need some weapons, and you're like, I'll fight them off. I'm an expert marksman. Okay, cool. But can you fight off 15? Can you fight off 20? Can you fight off me and three of my closest friends? Probably not. I couldn't fight off me and three of my closest friends. Like, Consider that, man. What are you telling the world about yourself? How do you act? What do people see you do? Everyone laughs about, yeah, UPS man was upset again today. Brought me 10 cases of ammo, stacked them up on the porch. Did your neighbors see that shit?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure it's cool to post about on social media, and they do. Because I got to get some likes. People need to know about me in my life and everything I fucking do. Hey, there's nothing wrong with sharing some of your life with people. Share the normal shit. Like Drew. I'll use her as an example. Drew likes to post more on social media than I do. I am like anti-social media. I fucking hate it. I would burn it to the ground. I would never use it again. If I didn't have a business that required it, I would never, ever, ever use it again. I despise it. I despise what it does, especially to the minds of our young people. But Drew likes it from the aspect of being able to keep in touch with our friends and family. She's got a private account. No one can, you know, access it without her approval. Except for the government, of course. And what she posts on there is mostly just photos of us and our kids. So that our friends and family can kind of see what we're up to, because it's a lot easier to do it that way than to constantly be emailing and sending photos everywhere. Right? It's like how people used to use blogs. Same concept. And that's fine. The point of that being, guess what's not in there? Anything abnormal. It's normal shit. Taking a couple trips here and there, hanging out with the kids. Oh, look, we're camping. Oh, look, we're at a place to eat dinner. Oh, look, here we are on a date night or whatever. Like, we're doing normal people shit. It's normal people shit. How's the world see you? And what are you telling people about yourself? It's way more important than buying Gray Man products. And remember that the standard of care changes wherever you go. You go to a different country, be like them. Literally dress like them. You will do so much better. So much better. Independence training moment for this week. Get out of your head. You're probably doing better than you think. This goes a lot with what we're saying today. I know I get kind of disparaging on the show, but here's the reality. If you're listening to this show, honestly, I think you're probably doing better than you think. Most people don't even think about the kind of shit we talk about on the show. Or they think about it, and that's all they do. They just think about it. Oh, boy, that sure does sound like a cool idea. But they don't do anything about it, right? Get out of your head. You're probably doing better than you think. You're probably a better parent than you think. You're probably a better partner than you think. You're probably better at shooting than you think. When we're trying to teach people new skills, the biggest opposition we have is mental for them, trying to get them out of their own heads. Get out of your head. Look at the real world effects of what you're doing. Are you a good parent? Ask your kids. How are you parenting them? Do you have positive results? Are you a good partner? Ask your partner. Look at the effects of what you're doing. Are they happy? Are they happy with you? Are you good at shooting? I don't know. Look at the effects. How good are you doing? You're probably doing pretty good. You're probably doing way better than the average person. Get out of your head. Brought to you by independencetraining.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get all these hard personal opinions in person. We're headed out to Indiana and Minnesota in September. So look on the schedule for that. We're going to be teaching close contact handgun in Terre Haute, I think, Indiana. Anyways, we're going to be there in September teaching close contact with our friend Cecil Birch from Immediate Action Combatives. We'll be in Minnesota up in shit. Damn, name it. Zimmerman. Yeah. Zimmerman. Sorry, the name just slipped out of my head. We're going to be in Zimmerman, Minnesota the last weekend in September teaching defensive handgun and IFAC lifesaver. Still a few slots left open in that class. We'll be in South Carolina in October and maybe again in November. Still working on some dates for that. We travel. We're happy to travel with you guys, all right? We're going to be in other states, like four other states, for our corporate training. So if you're a corporate group and you want our medical training or our safety and security training, we're happy to travel for that too. I mean, before the end of the year, we're going to be in like six different states for our training. So make sure that you guys hit us up and ask us about hosting us or bring us to your area, info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and MRC Phoenix, Drew's running group. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the other shows that they put on the network. They're a phenomenal media organization with so many services other than just podcasting. Next week, the foretold and great Grandpa Grayman, Cecil Birch, going to be on the show with us.
We love you, Cecil.
He just became a grandfather.
He did.
It's my favorite new thing to make sure I mention to him. He loves being a grandfather. He's a great grandfather, I'm sure. I mean, he's a brand new grandfather. He's a good dad. I'm sure he's going to be a great grandfather in the long run of things. I love the fact that he's a grandpa. It's one more thing I can poke him for. Cecil. Cecil's going to be on the show with us next week, having a hell of a discussion that I'm really looking forward to about our late friend William April. We're going to be talking about our lessons learned from William and the valuable lessons that we took, not only for our own lives, but even that have influenced mine and Cecil's training and so many others. So we're looking forward to doing that show next week. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.